what I wanted to do to try to get just a little bit more concrete and any last bit of information out of the utility panel. Sometimes just trying on kind of a straw proposal and eliciting reactions, even if they're preliminary, can help kind of put the kind of things into perspective. So what this is a slide that I didn't get to this morning that I think is fairly a fairly conventional approach for cost-effectiveness screening. And although there's some specifics in here that I wanted to just sort of walk through and then sort of see what the utility panelists thought of it, where it will go awry, what it would work. And it's really a three-step kind of process that uses the TRC as the primary test that essentially, eliminates programs that don't pass the TRC is the first step. So it has to pass TRC. And then the second step is implement programs that pass the RIM test. So if we're passing the RIM test, that program is just a across the board benefit for everybody. There's a no loser. So second step is if it passes the RIM test, okay, that is something that we should definitely do. And then the third step is there's, these programs that are between, that pass the TRC test and do not pass the RIM test, and they have distributional impacts. And so the third step is evaluate carefully, and this is generally, this is designed to create discussion, but carefully evaluate the distributional impacts of the remaining programs. And, whether we do that by, the how big the incentives are to the participants in terms of a share of their cost or payback, or whether it's the total cost of a average non-participating residential customer, some limit on that, or, what have you. There might be some different mechanisms to kind of put metrics behind number three, but I kind of wanted to get reactions from the utility panel on would something like this three-step process work at your utility? Is this just what you already do, and that's working great, or what are the pitfalls?
Well, I'd like to start that one off. When I was talking to Snoo about the TRC test and eliminating all of them that don't pass it, well, I would want to make sure that it isn't, you're not referring to the measures, that you're referring to the program, like the residential program, the commercial program. If as a total that doesn't pass, then yes. But individual measures, if you're limited to that, then you might lose your energy auditing and some of your educational opportunities. So I'd want to clarify that. The RIM test, I don't know enough about, but Snoo said, well, that's sometimes when you shifting load to off-peak periods, and that's kind of like our demand controller program that doesn't qualify under our existing plan. So maybe if we ran that test on that, maybe it would qualify. So if it qualifies other things, they're either in or not. I mean, that's a good thing that don't pass the TRC. That would be a good item. The third one there, carefully evaluate the programs. I guess we would want to set a limit on, like we have now on some of our, in particular our commercial projects, so that it wouldn't all go to one customer.
Okay, don't let me talk for more than 2 minutes, Jason, okay? On the surface I get this, but I have some trouble with it. I think the first one seems pretty straightforward. They should pass the total resource test. You could put some trash in there, and you could get some strange vendors that want you to do things, and at the roll-up level they still pass, but we can work our way through that. This RIM test is flawed, and the only problem with number two, I get the concept, and I should say that our portfolio, almost all programs pass the RIM test. We have low embedded costs and high avoided costs. So that's a tricky one. All of our energy efficiency programs pass the RIM test. If you do a crappy energy efficiency program where you don't save much energy, it's going to pass the RIM test. So you got to be really careful by saying do everything that passes the RIM test. Load management passes the RIM test because it doesn't save any energy. It just saves capacity. So it, I appreciate where you're headed, but it isn't that simple. And then number three, an idea for that is that the utilities do, we know that we have to cover all major end uses. We go after the big energy users at all of our residential, commercial, industrial. That's why you see us all have lighting programs. If we sell heat, HVAC, we're all after the same things. I think if you guys don't screen us for that, then we have a hole in our portfolio and you have a right to ask questions. And I think that might be a way to distribute it. And then also to make sure the funds are distributed evenly. Minnesota does some things right and some things wrong. One of the things they did right is they said you cover all those major end uses and based on your revenue, you allocate that percentage of SIP funds to that customer base. That way we know that residential customers are getting a fair share. Ag is getting its fair share. C&I is getting its fair share. That might be a way to do it. Am I under 2 minutes? Okay.
I think on the first one, we would, the language about programs is confusing, and I think we would limit just to individual measures that pass the TRC test. And then programs that pass the RIM test, you know, I said our objective would be to focus on the RIM test, but that is going to be more and more difficult to achieve. It's going to, if we still hold ourselves to that threshold, we're going to get smaller and smaller portfolios that save less and less energy too. So the day is coming where we can't stick to that anymore. So I think we need to then, you know, I guess it depends on what the goals of the commission is. Is it, do you want an energy intensive portfolio of programs out there? Then we won't be able to stick to the RIM. It just won't happen. You know, we would prefer to stick to the RIM because then there is no worry about cross subsidization. So I'm on the fence here. It's but and we already do a lot of this stuff already. We spend what we need to spend to get what we need in the door. So we already do try to limit our spending as much as possible to meet the goals we have in other states. So I think we would still continue to use step three here. You know, that was a confusing answer. But
can I jump in here? I need to. I mean, I heard Kim say, well, if the RIM test, anything will pass. And I hear Jeremy saying, if we stick to the RIM test, we're going to have less and less that will comply. I hear 180 degrees. Now, I also heard earlier you can't compare one utility to the other with these tests. I appreciate that because I hadn't really thought about that before. But help me understand this difference here.
I think you understand it perfectly. It's terribly confusing. Okay, we believe there's flaws in the RIM test. And that's why some states, there's no state that uses it. So for us, I mean, Jeremy's brilliant, but I'm going to contradict him just to say it's tough to pass that RIM test because of the flaws in it. Now, we should strive for rate equity and understand what that cost is, but to me, that test is a flawed test, and that's why it can't be used as the pass, no pass. Now, a good energy efficiency program that passes the RIM test should be approved, but and maybe the two gentlemen here that are the experts can explain why if you put together an energy savings program that doesn't save any energy, it's going to pass the RIM test. Now, that to me should tell you there's a flaw in that test. So, you know, do you agree?
Well,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Let me just chime in about sort of the conditions that would make you pass the RIM test or not pass the RIM test. And it's a little bit like I think I showed the Puget Sound Energy example that passed their program, passed the RIM test. So if you have a lot of very low-cost resources in your portfolio as a utility, like if you have a lot of hydroelectric, but your marginal unit that you have to operate is a fossil unit, then your rates are overall low because your customers are benefiting from that low-cost resource. But your avoided cost, when you're due an efficiency, that marginal benefit is high. And if that marginal benefit is higher than your rate, then saving energy will pass the RIM test, it will reduce rates overall because, you know, let's just throw out numbers. If my marginal cost is 6 cents, but my rates are 5, then for every kilowatt hour I don't have to buy it at 6 cents and sell at 5, I save everybody money, right? So the portfolio, supply portfolio of the utility really drives the answer, and that's why there's differences from one utility to the next utility on the RIM test. And there's difference, you know, in this part of the, from basically Washington State across the northern U.S. to here, there's a lot of low-cost resources, and so you get utilities in that situation. The country overall, it's almost unheard of to be able to pass the RIM test. It's an unusual kind of circumstance, but obviously it does happen. So, I don't know, that's my perspective on why you would see differences. It's in the portfolio.
And I think the trends that are happening points towards make it much more difficult to pass the RIM. The RIM depends on having a large difference between on-peak energy and off-peak energy and saving that on-peak energy. Now it's all, you know, with gas prices so low, on-peak energy is about the same as off-peak energy. In the residential segment, I don't know what program we would do if that program must pass the RIM test. Residential AC may pass it. You get great capacity savings, not much energy savings there. That may pass the RIM, but no one's doing any lighting programs. Lighting is inherently rate increasing. Even the naturally occurring efficiency on lighting raises rates for residential because it just changes the load factor of the system. It just makes the system less efficient. So I don't know what we would do in residential if we had to pass, if every program would have to pass the RIM.
Can I give you a little different point of view? I don't like the RIM test either, but I dislike it for a completely different reason. And with all due respect to my utility colleagues here, I think that people generally grossly overestimate lost revenues from these programs. I mean, I think Greg here this morning, Greg Wright, made the point that there are lots of reasons why people have rate cases. And there are also lots of reasons why people could justify rate cases but don't file them. There's just as many reasons. I think this issue with lost revenues is one of them, and not all that very big of an issue, in my opinion. And the RIM test kind of assumes that the utility is going to be made whole for every penny every year that they do these programs. And the utility world just doesn't work like that. I mean, there are some things that we get trackers for. We usually get fuel cost of trackers. We usually get PGAs. We get trackers for the expenses. We get trackers for the big things. But it's just my opinion that the amount of margin that we lose after taxes is just not that big of a deal. And that's why I don't like the RIM test, is I don't think it really gets to the bottom line impact on utilities of having energy efficiency programs. If somebody asks me, go back and look at the last 20 years that you've done energy efficiency and tell me what the impact has been to the bottom line, I wouldn't do it like this. I wouldn't go back and see, well, we lost this much revenue this year and this year and this year and this year and add up all the numbers. I mean, I'd look at basically impact on earnings and return on equity and what did we avoid, you know, what capacity did we avoid, if we avoided any, and that sort of thing. So, but having said that, I think this proposal is fine if you crossed out the word programs and said measures. Certainly anything, given the conversation we have, anything that does pass the RIM test as it's currently being calculated is probably a pretty good measure. And I would go along with the third point, but I would just ask that if you did that, that you're really comfortable that you're measuring the impact to the utility of offering these programs the way it really, if you're really comfortable with how that impact is being measured on the non-participants. I don't think the RIM test as it currently stands does that.
I would make the following changes to the straw proposal. The first one, I would change the word programs to measures. And I would add a sentence that says, for any program that doesn't pass the TRC test, you have 1 year to fix it. You can make, so editorial comment, we've had this happen to us in the past. We were able to make some adjustments or mid-course corrections to a program that flunked the TRC, and we were able to save it. In other cases, we sat down and tried to think of everything we could do to fix it, and we couldn't come up with anything, so end of program. But you run a program for a year or two, and then you evaluate it, and you discover it flunks. Bad on me, but I think I can fix it. So that qualifier there would be a good thing. 1A, special dispensation is granted for home energy audits. Item 2, just draw a line through it and dump it. We will fight forever over the RIM test if we don't just stop the madness now. And item 3, absolutely yes, and the burden of proof is on us. It's incumbent on us to show to you how we have done, number 3, on an ongoing basis. And so I agree with Chuck on programs and measures, but I disagree with him. Lost revenues is a big deal, but that is a subject for another day. If we start down that road, I won't get back home until Saturday.
Can I offer a happy thought? I was listening to your dilemma on the technical resource manual, and Jeremy and I are willing to sell Minnesota's technical resource manual to you guys. No, I'm serious. Our Minnesota customer paid for an extensive technical resource manual that was, the cost of which was far greater than $250,000. We used that same data in South Dakota, and it saved our South Dakota customers a lot of money. It would get us all on the same page. I bet our inputs are very comparable because we rely on the same source. You could use that source as well.
And there are states that do that, that basically say, we're just going to adopt, we all agreed to adopt a manual from some other state, and it could be Minnesota or Ohio or, whatever. Everybody likes to do it their own way. So you got to get over that hurdle. But if you can get over that hurdle, I mean, that's not a bad way to go.
Thank you.
I think maybe an alternative to this would be to set some max cap spend level. If you set that cap spend level, the utilities go in and they optimize it already. Because this still looks a little too restrictive going forward. I think, you know, if you set that cap, it all happens.
So I think that's what we had planned to do for the utility panel. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for walking through that, and especially the surprise straw proposal at the end there. I'm purposely putting everybody on the spot to try to get just some more information and discussion going about, well, how would this specific thing look? So I really appreciate all of that. Brian, I'll kick it back to you to...
Yeah, how about a round of applause for our utility panel and moderators?